Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
What happened to Jeff Bad it was?
Yes, I heard he was on the flume ride for the 10th time, and it flew off the tracks, fatally striking Goofy, who shit his pants and died.
I heard when they pulled Jeff out of the water, the first crane broke because his diaper was so full of shit and piss.
See you, we did not. Welcome to the holiday special.
Yes. We are going to talk about news, the internet, and movies.
Don't go anywhere. Begin, the fun is about to.
But first, bust we must.
Yes, let's get that nut. Not on my tummy.
Can I call you a lift?
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
Why you fail?
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Rhodes? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
You get our son.
Happy birthday, Molly.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 111. I'm sure you heard our intro, and Jeff Kinjek, to the heavy heart, must report that fictionally Jeff passed away, but he's going to be revived.
Yeah, huge rest in peace to Jeff, who got hit by, what did we say? He flew off the tracks and killed a Goofy at Disneyland.
Yeah, and then Goofy shit his pants and died, too.
Shit his pants and died, followed by the sexual embrace of two Yodas. So if you haven't tuned out yet, we're going to talk to you about some movie stuff right now, aren't we?
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. This is an experimental episode, because it's the first time that Jeff's taken the leash off of us and allowed us to go wild. And I think it might be kind of a mess, but it might also be a good episode, you know, for your holidays, a lighthearted episode that you can turn off at any time and not feel like you've missed anything.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it'll be a good one for people commuting home tomorrow. People do that, right? They commute on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, you just show up the day before Christmas. I noticed, I looked on Twitter, because I tweeted yesterday. I tweeted at Fortnite. I just thanked Fortnite for wishing me a Merry Christmas, because that's what I want out of my brands. And I noticed that Christmas Eve was trending. And I checked back in today, and Christmas Eve is trending. So we're like naming the days before Christmas now.
That seems kind of ridiculous. Almost like, you know how everything has a holiday now? So it's like National like Seltzer Day, shit like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know if that's absolutely necessary. But like we were saying before, this is going to be a very by-the-book, lights, camera, Barstool episode. We're still going to talk about movie news and all the stuff that you love to hear us professionally speak about. And the first item on our news agenda is the Men in Black 2 trailer. So we saw this came out Thursday after the episode is already over. So, Tro, what did you think of it?
I liked it. It was better than I thought it would be. Tessa Thompson rules. I'm excited for it. I'm glad they got that Ragnarok chemistry going. So I thought it was better than I was gonna than what I was expecting.
Yeah, I don't really know what I was expecting out of it, but I do think that their chemistry between Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson is great. So I think they saw that in Ragnarok and just thought they got to run with it, and I don't blame them. They're awesome. And did you see that cameo at the end of the trailer with the hammer? Not cameo, but like the nod?
No. What was it?
Like he picks up a hammer, Chris Hemsworth's character, and he like looks at an alien and he's like, oh, now you're done. And he throws the hammer at him like Thor, except the guy just like catches the hammer. He's like, oh, that was an incredible catch.
Yeah, it looks good. The title's kind of stupid, though. Men in Black International. It sounds like a fashion label.
Yeah, like Prestige Worldwide or something.
Yeah, or just like Armani Exchange International. Somehow. Dude, I just knocked my PlayStation 4 controller onto my foot. Which, by the way, I've been playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey a little bit. It's pretty good.
I think it picks up a little bit more as you go on. So I think I killed it maybe in like 2-3 weeks or something, but it definitely has like a cool story arc as you move forward. Alexios!
It's kind of hard coming from Red Dead Redemption 2 because it's like a lot less polished than that game. Because, I mean, I doubt they spent 8 to 10 years on it. But the funniest part is like riding the horse animation is so much less detailed than all the horse animations in Red Dead Redemption 2. And you can go over anything on your horse in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, whereas in like RDR2, you trip on a bush and you're dead.
Yeah, you just die. Like you hit a tree head on, your horse dies, you need to revive it. Like in this, you just steal a horse and you ride it through anything, it doesn't matter. Like you smash into someone, you just keep going. And well, actually no, there is kind of a wanted level in that game. Where they send the bounty hunters after you or the mercenaries?
Yeah. I've experienced that. The first one I got, I'm basically just started the game and I was on level 2 and then the bounty hunter's level 5. So I'm not able to take him on yet. I tried and I got my butt handed to me.
Yeah, the very first guy that attacks on the Kefalonia, he's really fucking hard to beat. And it took me a while to see that because I just kept trying to fight level 2 and he was level 5. Speaking of seeing, you probably didn't realize it, but the average American blasts their eyes with bright screens for 11 hours a day. And, you know, when you think about it, that's what you do all day. You stare at computer screens. It stinks. Your eyes get all filled with cataracts.
You either stare at bad screen at work or you stare at good screen at home.
Exactly. That's a very deep statement. I agree with. I mean, I probably spent at least 15 hours today looking at a screen, which is a normal time for a Sunday. but you can protect your eyes with a pair of Felix Gray sunglasses that are available with or without prescription. You know, they're a lifesaver for me. I use mine all the time. They filter out 90% of high-energy blue light, eliminate the glare coming off screens. So you don't need those tired red eyes anymore, which sucks. You look like Michael Jordan after he's had too much of the liquor. Like, he looks like a demon. So don't go another day looking at screens without the help of some Felix Grays. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/lights to protect your peepers today. That's felixgrayglasses.com/lights.
Slash lights. The perfect post-Christmas gift. Was it Boxing Day in Australia and England where people return all their stuff?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Get somebody a Boxing Day gift. Let's just bring Boxing Day here. We need another fake holiday tacked on. Stimulate the economy. I forgot to ask. Did you play for your fantasy football championship today or were you out of it?
No, I am in it, actually. Let me check. Why? Are you in yours?
No, I'm 12th place out of 12 this year.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, I 3 years ago, maybe it was 4 years ago. It was I was in a 14 team league auction draft, and I had one of the greatest fantasy football teams of all time because I picked a bunch of players that I got for value, and they ended up being really good. And like that was the year Ahmad Bradshaw was on the Colts, and then Andrew Luck just went off. So I was like doubling up on points and stuff like that. And I made it to the championship game. And that was the game that the Colts, I think they either played the Cowboys or the Chiefs. And they basically pulled Andrew Luck in the second quarter because they were stinking up so bad. And I set like the league record for everything that year, and I lost in the championship, and that just broke me, honestly.
I remember one year, my buddy Dave, who if you listen to Big If True, you'll know who he is. He was in the semifinal round, and in that game, like he was ahead by maybe I think like 40 points. And then the Chiefs had this one game where they played the Raiders, and Jamal Charles scored like five touchdowns in a game, like I think four rushing, one receiving, and scored like 49 points. So I mean, it is wild how you could just get fucking smoked out of nowhere.
It's so demotivating, and it's also something that's hard to care about as I get older, because if I want to gamble, I just gamble. Mm. I don't like this long play gambling. There's some element of skill. I mean, there's more skill involved in fantasy football. But then when the playoffs, it comes down to luck for the large part. Like Todd Gurley.
Literally came down to luck for you.
What's that?
It literally came down to luck for you. Fucking owned.
Like Todd Gurley today. People got to the fantasy championships with Todd Gurley and he's out. You know, you can't control that. Anyway, let's go on Screen Rant. Like, what's Screen Rant saying? This is a new section we're doing. New
that's
segment.
That's the one I pulled that story from, Men in Black Trail. That was only on Screen Rant.
Oh, yeah. Here's a Screen Rant article. Will Ferrell thought Elf might destroy his movie career.
Yeah, I saw that one. Like, why would that be? If anything he made, how would that be the one that destroyed his career?
Yeah, I don't know. Let's, was that before? That was after Anchorman, right? That was like right after Anchorman.
That was definitely before Anchorman.
Oh,
I think.
Let's look at the Will Ferrell filmography. It was after Old School. So they both came out in 2003. So they were probably filmed around the same time. I mean, maybe I could understand that for a comedian if he thought it would like pigeonhole him into this like family movie comedy role. Like I'm trying to think of like you'd Bob Saget him, you know?
Oh, okay. Yeah, he really got royally fucked. Well, Bob Saget, I feel like he's done his whole or has worked his whole life to get out of that pigeonhole. Mm-hmm. Because like all he does now is like his stand-up specials where he curses like crazy, right?
Oh dude, he's filthy. He's always been filthy too, even before Full House. And that's like that's funny to think about, and you think about things that definitely would not have happened in the social media world. Like there would have been if that happened, like with Twitter, it'd be like comedian Bob Saget cast in family comedy Full House. And there'd be a video of him talking about some gross shit. He wouldn't be casting that, but nobody really knew. And then he hosted America's Funniest Home Videos. So you had this double whammy of this guy you thought was very wholesome. And then it turns out he's one of the filthiest dudes around.
Yeah, like nasty. That's almost how I feel about Lovitz after hearing about his stand-up.
Well, the first time I realized Bob Saget was filthy was in Half-Baked.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's right. I totally forgot he was even in that.
Because I think it was it Jim Brewer went to the he went to like the counseling or the group counseling, and then he said he was addicted to marijuana, and then Bob Saget said like, no, you're not addicted to that, I'm addicted to this, and then had some like pretty filthy lines around that. And then like when I saw that as like a 15-year-old, I'm like, damn, that's the Full House guy. And then now you can go on the internet and find anything on him, and it's pretty shocking.
You can find him like cursing and screaming and saying, or you can find other comedians saying racial epithets of their own.
Dude, that was bad.
That was such a bad video. And like, that's been around, like that's a pretty old interview, right? Or not pretty old, like relatively recent, I think, like maybe 3-4 years old.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Ricky Gervais always rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah. He was one of those people I thought was very funny just based off his media appearances. But then the more, I think once I followed him on Twitter, I was like, wow, this guy just fucking stinks.
Well, he's made some really funny things. Yeah. I mean, the UK Office is good. I watched it. I did not like it as much as the US Office, maybe because I'm an uncultured American. But also, like, you know, I've seen what was the show, Extras?
Yeah.
And then he did Life is Short.
Life's too short is so funny.
Which I haven't seen much of, but I've seen clips and it seems really cool. And then the travel show he did, like produced, and he wasn't in it. I think his friend, like, was it Carl Pilkington?
Yeah.
was in that is like one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
That is a very good show. But yeah, I think it's just the Twitter thing got me annoyed. That reminds me, do you ever see that tweet where it's like, Ricky Gervais, I'll shag the bloody queen. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, we're just trying to shock people.
Yeah, are you offended? Are you offended, mate? Like, that stuff like never really holds so much weight with me, but I think that's one of those things like, not don't meet your heroes, but basically don't meet your heroes going towards fucking this British loon.
Did you ever see The Invention of Lying?
Yeah. I think I saw that in high school.
I kind of liked that.
It wasn't terrible.
It was an entertaining movie, but then it just like, you know, you take it. I look, there's probably a lot of celebrities who are like, the more you follow them on Twitter and keep up with what they're doing, and you're like, you got to separate them from their art. So just like obnoxious. I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That's like Tim Allen for me.
what Tim Allen works are you a big fan of?
I love everything Tim Allen has ever done. He's so cool and handsome and awesome. John Voight, another good example.
I did like Tim Allen. I did like Home Improvement back in the day. It's one of my favorite sitcoms.
I never watched Home Improvement. I don't know if that's
probably
shocking.
You're probably too young. It was like 94 to 99 or something like that.
But that's one of those things I would always see on TV and change the channel.
Yeah.
Well, I think my dad liked it, which would make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. He's got these kids. Like, you know, one of them's like a meathead, like a jock. The middle one's like this smart kid. And then the youngest one is just a dork. Like, they don't even make him a smart dork. They just make him a nerd.
Oh, like a dumb nerd?
Well, what they basically did was Tim Allen was like, you know what? Like, my kids in the show should be Alvin and the Chipmunks. And the oldest kid's going to be Alvin, and the middle kid's going to be Simon, and the youngest one's going to be Theodore. And then in later seasons, they made the youngest one a goth.
That's almost too perfect. And that has been describing TV sitcoms.
That's a very late 90s thing to be afraid of goths.
Yeah, just like terrified. Like, I want a goth. I want that big titty goth girlfriend, as the meme goes.
Yeah, but then you realize they're just kids who watched a Marilyn Manson video and were like, I'm gonna wear eyeliner and just wear like platform shoes.
Listen to Depeche Mode.
2 to 3 years, and then when I go to college, I'm going to like start wearing Abercrombie. Anyway, yeah, Will Ferrell, I guess I get that. It was kind of a risk. I mean, Elf ended up being so good, but his character was so over the top. I think, you know, if you're him, you're coming off of SNL, you get off of SNL in 2002, and then you got this movie the first year back. And this is really the first movie you're featuring in, right? Because mm-hmm. before that, he was in Old School as a bit player, as Frank the Tank. He was in Zoolander as Mugatu. But Elf was the first movie I think he had big top billing on. So you're like, I'm going to establish myself as a comedian, but I'm in this family movie. So I get that. But then the next year, like the next 2 years for Will Ferrell, I think maybe even the next 3 years, he had Anchorman. He was a little bit in Starsky and Hutch, and then he was in Wedding Crashers, both as like cameo roles, which were pretty good. And then 2006, he had Talladega Nights, which I personally think is the best Will Ferrell movie.
You think Talladega Nights is his best movie?
I like it more than Step Brothers.
I don't think I like it more than Step Brothers, but I do enjoy its like parody of NASCAR culture and all that. Well, Dale Earnhardt storming the beaches at Normandy.
Well, and I liked Sacha Baron Cohen's character. He was French and he had the Perrier car.
Yep, that was actually great. That was so fucking stupid, but so funny.
Oh, it's stupid shit like that. Yeah, do you remember The Other Guys was good too? Do you remember like Adam McKay is in The Other Guys as a cameo as they're the homeless guys who kept having sex in his Prius?
Yeah, Dirty Mike. Wait, he was Dirty. That's Dirty Mike.
Yeah,
that was somebody else.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Adam McKay was Dirty Mike.
Yeah, actually, I remember the last time I saw Adam McKay, I was like, damn, his hair looks like goofy looking, if that makes sense. But now that I replace that onto like the actual image of Dirty Mike, it makes sense.
Yeah, McKay is Dirty Mike.
That's awesome. Did you ever watch the outtakes for The Other Guys?
No.
It's so fucking funny. They're so good. It's like one of my favorite all time blooper reels. That and It's Always Sunny. It's Always Sunny, I think, has like a top 5 blooper reel next to Parks.
I think Will Ferrell, I like him a lot. I don't know if it's just like my generation, because he was the funniest guy.
Only 80s kids can appreciate Will Ferrell. Yeah, that post that on Twitter. Just like post a picture of Will Ferrell and be like, you know, you were born in the 80s if you know who this is.
Yeah, that was probably a stupid comment. I think everybody could appreciate Will Ferrell. But from when I was like, you know, I feel like the two most formative years of what's funny, or like time periods of what's funny to you, are like when you're 14, 15. And I've always said like your favorite SNL season or cast is from when you're 14, 15. And then also when you're in college too. And Will Ferrell was around for both of those for me. He was on SNL, like in my favorite SNL. Well, I wouldn't say that. I like the Sandler Farley cast too. But then he was in all these movies when I was in college, and they're all pretty much slam dunks for the most part.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. I think as far as SNL goes, I think like you remember how you said everyone looks at SNL with like rose colored glasses or whatever, like based off of whenever they grew up. I think that Sandberg, like the digital short era, is my favorite.
Yeah, I also think we have the tendency to look back on eras. Like once we're out of it and you watch the highlights, you can say like, oh, that's pretty good. But any singular hour long 90 minute episode of SNL usually is like maybe two skits that work by itself. And then just a lot of filler. But yeah, I still watch it. So joke's on me. It hasn't been good.
Yeah. You and Jeff always hate watch it. I usually make a point to miss it.
Oh, okay. So you saw Aquaman, and we won't talk about it too much, right? But what are your like initial thoughts?
It's essentially Black Panther underwater from Killmonger's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, there's no real ingenuity to the plot, but it's beautiful. And he definitely, James Wan figured out how to do shooting underwater, I think, very well. And also, there's some fucking sick fight scenes. Like, it is essentially like this really big bro fest movie. Like fucking Aquaman attacks this submarine, and he's wearing like jeans and like no shirt. It's just like, it's absurd. He wears all these rings and like all these like random jewelry that make him look like a, who's that guy from that show, The Pickup Artist? Do you remember that?
A mystery?
Yeah. He essentially dresses like him minus the fur hat. Like, and it's just absolutely absurd, but it's cool. And I think the only problem I really have with it is that like it is some weird tonal issues where like it goes back and forth from being like tongue in cheek and like understanding of what they're doing to go to being just like very serious. And I think if it picked a direction, it would have been a lot better. But other than that, pretty funny. And the fucking Pitbull scene was so good. It was so fucking good.
Oh, with the song?
Yeah. They had the song play as like Aquaman and Mera walk out of like the water in slow motion. It fucking rules so hard.
Oh, I'm excited for it. Do you think this is a new direction for the DCU, or did it feel just like a better DCU movie? Or I don't even know if they're doing DCU yet.
But they don't call it the DCU. Remember, they call it whatever, like the DC Universe of Films or some bullshit, because the guy who runs their marketing is like a moron. I think it was interesting. It's definitely not, it was the opposite of all the other DC movies in that it wasn't all doom and gloomy. It was just fun, like a pretty fun movie. I know we say that we use fun way too often, but it was a fun movie.
But that's important for a comic book movie.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And that's, I think, the big ingredient that's been missing from their movies for a while, because it's always just so fucking serious. Like, Man of Steel was basically like a fucking drama.
Yeah, well, also, like, the original Marvel movies weren't as dark as, like, Infinity War, for example, right? Like, I mean, so I felt like they had to, like, build up to that darkness for some... So, you know, you had to be attached to the characters and drawn in. And then you got to see them like have fun, and then you knew shit really hit the fan, because now you see Iron Man, who used to be, you know, wisecracking and handling everything, now like in a really bad place. So you're bought in. And then I feel like they thrusted us into the doom and gloom really quickly. Now, I don't know how much emotional investment you need for characters like Superman, Batman, because we've lived with them our whole lives, but maybe for the on-screen adaptations. It's exciting though. I can't wait to see Aquaman. Jason Momoa is good, I'm guessing.
Yeah, he's awesome. And a lot of the supporting cast, though, I don't think was very necessary. Like, Willem Dafoe was in it, and he had like 5 minutes of screen time. Dolph Lundgren, maybe they could have just done like almost anybody else. And I'm trying to think who else. Like, Black Manta also kind of got screwed, although his fight scene is fucking super cool. It's awesome. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I think that maybe the way Marvel almost sort of did that was they used comedy to kind of make you, like you say, buy in to the character, and like you grow an attachment to them and you get empathy for them and you like come to like them. And then you raise the stakes in these, like the subsequent movies, and like you're invested. Like now you want to know what happens because like you like these people. Unlike in DC where they threw you straight into it and like, yeah, you have to care about these guys. Like, why? Why not give a fuck about Ben Affleck Batman? Like, why should I give a shit about this?
I really wish Ben Affleck got his own standalone movie as Batman before doing Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, that was really ridiculous. It almost felt like they were trying to kill two birds with one stone. If that makes sense.
I just would have liked to see a Ben Affleck Batman by himself. I thought, just focus on him a little bit. But yeah, James Wan said, Pitbull was there very early on. He was really excited to do something for the film. That sequence was very tongue in cheek, and we just wanted to have fun with it, which I think echoes what you took away from the movie. So they accomplished their mission. I think this is a win for DC. And Wonder Woman was a win, and hopefully 1984 or whatever 1980s will be good too. But the big question on everyone's minds is like, what's happening with Superman and what's happening with Batman? And that's tough. You're like, where do you go?
Yeah, they don't really give him like a bona fide direction to go in. Before we go into some questions, because we got a lot of good ones. I pulled out some, and I'll take a couple more out before we go into them. We got to talk a little bit about Burrow. Do you want to talk about Burrow? I can send you this read.
No, you can talk about Burrow. Just talk about it.
So Burrow, this podcast is brought to you by it. The holiday season is here, and whether you're hosting an entire extended family or just a few friends, you'll need a cozy seat for everyone. There's no better time to replace your worn-out hand-me-down couch with a super comfortable, high-quality, and stylish Burrow sofa. It's stress-free shopping. You can customize your sofa online. You know, pick a low armrest, high armrest. It can be stylish. It can be comfy. You don't need to go to some weird, dimly lit warehouse or creepy place like that. It's all handmade in North Carolina. That's cool. Made in America is a thing. Remember that was a big thing for a while?
It's still a thing for me. That's why I like Allen Edmonds shoes.
I don't even know what that is.
They're made in America, most of them.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, they're exactly 17 inches off the ground because that's the average height from the bottom of the person's foot to the back of their knee. Pretty smart. Include a built-in USB charger so you never have to get up. That fucking rules.
That's actually really cool.
That's a great idea.
Because I always take my portable charger to the couch.
Yeah, me too, actually. And I always lose. I have like three different portable chargers, but they're all from my last job when I worked at corporate. Like whenever you go to like a corporate event, you know how they give you sometimes like a branded portable charger?
Yeah.
That sucks shit and like burns out.
You got to get the 20,000 amp. I forget the unit of measurement they use for
power.
Yeah, I don't know. But they can do a ridiculous amount of charges, and they're actually not that big now. It's amazing what they've been able to do with batteries.
Yeah, and you don't need a battery because you have the USB right in this couch from Burrow. They have four unique collections, Bohemian Industrial, Mid-Century Modern, or Rustic Farmhouse. That sounds cool. They're ethnically manufactured. That's not the word. Ethically manufactured with fair trade and good weave certification. And, you know, you can get your living room ready for all your holiday celebrations. You can save $75 off on a new sofa by visiting burrow.com/lights. That's $75 off your order. That's a lot of money.
Dude, nothing's better than getting a new centerpiece couch, main couch. It feels like getting rid of an old couch is exercising a demon. You know, all the terrible things that have happened on your college futon, just forget about it. Like the time you passed out face down and woke up, like just covered in you know, your own pee-pee. Like just get rid of that futon, get yourself a nice couch.
I remember when I moved into with my girlfriend, we bought a futon in case we had anybody over. And we're like, yeah, we'll get this one from Walmart because it's like it folds out. And if anyone wants to sleep here, they can sleep here. It was the worst fucking couch I've ever had in my entire life. No, it was like sitting on a stone.
You got to invest in this. That's why Burrow's good. You make the investment in a nice couch. Get yourself something nice made in the United States. Can't go wrong there.
Yeah, I totally echo that. And again, that's burrow.com/lights, burrow.com/lights, $75 off your order. Thanks again to Burrow for supporting the show, the Ken Jack and Troll Ballin's holiday special. which I'm sure they this is exactly what they knew. They knew they were what they were getting into, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, this episode is what it is. We miss Jeff. He's obviously still alive, but for the episode's sake, he passed. But Jeff's the perfect host, and without Jeff as the point guard and us as the Jeff's a multiple tool player to mix metaphors here in different sports.
You're just calling him a tool multiple times?
He's been in Disney for a long time, though. I don't know if I could be in Disney as long as Jeff's been in Disney.
I don't know if I could be in Florida as long as he's been in Florida.
Disney is probably second to Las Vegas is like places that are fun to go for a short amount of time.
Like 3 days max?
I could do 5 days in Disney. I think 5 days in Disney would be good. 3 days in Vegas, though. If that way you're talking about, like, I can't do more than 3 days in Vegas.
I feel like I get so much anxiety when I'm in like any theme park or anything like that with all the lines and all just like the people. It just freaks me out. And if I had to go for 5 days in a row, it would just like, it would suck the fun out of it for me because my dumb brain.
I don't know. Yeah. 5 days gives you time. Cause then you can have a down day where you don't go to the park and you hang out by the pool. Get a nice pool day in, maybe get a shopping day in where you go to downtown Disney or whatever they're calling it. We're not paid by Disney. So I don't know why we're promoting them so heavily. It's a thing. I mean, Disney doesn't need us to promote them. We know Disney exists.
I think a lot of people do know this. This is a widely known fact.
Have you ever been on a cruise?
No, I haven't. That's something I've like deeply avoided.
I don't blame you. The first cruise I went on was fun, but all cruises after that, can't do it. You talk about claustrophobic and you talk about feeling like you're trapped. The cruise is not for you. Like, get in these small rooms. You're on this boat with many people. And then after all that norovirus stuff, and especially that ship that stalled at sea and everybody was just pooping and barfing into the carpet.
I totally forgot about that.
Oh, that was a nightmare.
Italy?
The Italy thing was the cruise ship that overturned.
Oh, yeah.
And sank, which was wild. A boat sinking in 2018. I thought they just spray it with foam. Things ready to go again.
I really had no idea how they work or how most boats work. Like, why don't they just sink? I don't know. Maybe that's a question we'll get in our question segment.
Boats are pretty wild, man.
Boats are crazy. Let me tell you, Mike, my top five things I love about boats. We're actually going to rank boats in this episode. Number one, the Lusitania.
Number one, pontoon boats.
Oh, yeah. Pontoon boats are the best. You win that one already.
Nothing beats being on a pontoon with some natty lights.
That's like those boats are specifically designed just to drink and party. Like, that's fucking awesome how far we've advanced as a species.
If you're older than 30 on a pontoon boat, it doesn't let you on. It just sets up a force field. You may not get on the pontoon boat, you old ass bitch.
The last time actually I saw or interacted with another pontoon boat, my buddy has a beach house in Maryland, and we went there, and like you take the boat to this bar in Ocean City, Maryland called Secrets. Shout out Secrets, by the way. Maybe the coolest bar of all time. Mm. It's like half in water and like half on the land.
Mm.
So you take it there, and then like people like from the bar like dock your boat for you, or you can just sit out. You can sit and drink in your boat. You can go to like these, they have like tables that are in the water. You can drink there, or you can go inside. They have like a sandbar. It's fucking, it's wild place. It's very cool. Also terrible line, but all the people there were definitely over 30 and on a pontoon boats. So I don't know if your analogy worked with that specific instance. So yeah, let's do some questions. We put out the call, see if anyone had any questions for us. Number one, this is for you, Trill. What is the first tweet that got you notoriety? Hashtag Smokin.
Oh, I've never really gone viral. I don't think I've ever had a tweet that's gone over like 700 retweets, not counting the Smokin tweet. So I'm trying to think of like an incident. I think I got a lot of followers from the whole pizza rat thing.
Did you really? What'd you tweet?
I had a brand that where I think I was like actually the pizza rat or something. I was pretending to be the pizza rat and I was
what were the tweets?
I think I was like just like it was just like eating pizza in the subway, and then another one was like this is the pizza rat's wife. The pizza rat ate too much pizza and died. Or something like that. It was like, rest in peace, pizza rat. I don't remember. But there was somebody from like politics Twitter who quote tweeted me or something like that. And it was like, oh, now this is funny. And that got like a lot of retweets, and I picked up a lot of followers who I'm sure have unfollowed. People haven't unfollowed already from me not tweeting.
And that's my favorite thing now, when like someone takes a picture or something, like, look at this pigeon on the subway, and then like 2 minutes later an account pops up, pigeon on subway, that quote tweets it, like, the fuck you taking pictures of me for, to the tune of like 100,000 retweets, like every time.
The first one I can remember that happened on, I think, was the Brooklyn Zoo cobra.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
When did that happen?
The Brooklyn Zoo cobra? What was the picture?
Zoo cobra. Okay, so, Bronx Zoo cobra. And this was like 2011.
Oh.
So poisonous Egyptian cobra that escaped Bronx Zoo cage is found. So, yeah, obviously it's scary when a cobra escapes and then you just have a cobra randomly slithering about a city of 11 million people. But that was the first one I can remember. Somebody created a Twitter account and was like pretending to be the Bronx Zoo cobra. And I forget what they're actually saying. But
what, like, come and get me?
Yeah, or like, I'm at Serendipity enjoying a frozen hot chocolate or whatever. just real New York things.
What the fuck is Serendipity?
Serendipity is a restaurant in New York that the movie Serendipity took place at, partly.
Oh. You learn something new about your own city every day. Although you live nearby in Hoboken, so I guess that makes sense that you would know what it is.
Maybe they close Serendipity. Serendipity 3, iconic New York City dessert and diner. This is probably the Magnolia Bakery of the 90s.
Oh, okay. That would make more sense then. I don't like Magnolia cupcakes very much, but I also just don't like cupcakes very much.
Do people still go to Magnolia cupcakes? Like, I know New York City's pretty fickle in terms of like what gets popular, and then people drop it.
Someone got, I think, Jared a bunch of Magnolia cupcakes a couple days ago, which he just promptly gave to the entire office. All right, so next question. Do you think your mother knew about your jag rags / socks while growing up? In retrospect, there's no way mine didn't, because I had an entire bureau drawer dedicated to them. I was dumb and thought there was no way that she would notice those crusty-ass articles of clothing. But two things here, I think. Jag rags is not something I've ever heard before, but I love that word. And number two, why would you put your crusty cum socks in a bureau?
Oh. Oh, dude. No, I don't think so. Just because I think that I wasn't ever a sock guy. Let's put it that way.
What does that mean?
I just, like, you know, I was very efficient, and I used products that could be disposed of in toilets.
Yeah.
And I get you. Because I've always been like somewhat of a neat freak, and that was always very disgusting to me.
Somewhat of a neat freak, as I look in the background of your webcam, just clothes strewn everywhere.
Yeah, I have an ironing board full of clothes, and then I have a drying rack also full of clothes that serves as my valet for what I wear to work.
That's perfect. I mean, it's just perfectly ironic. But
I hate putting dirty clothes back in my closet.
Why would you put dirty clothes back in your closet?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm not going to wear a pair of pants one time to wash it. I'm wearing multiple times, but I'm not going to fold the pants, hang them up in my closet dirty, contaminating the other pants.
How would you fold them and then hang them?
I would just hang them, but I'd be hanging dirty pants next to clean pants. I don't have a huge closet.
Okay. I think there's a better solution to that than just strewing them all over your room. But
oh yeah, there's definitely a better solution. Like, I could fold them and hang them up on the drying rack, but I've decided not to do that.
Literally anything other than that. But wait, so what do you think about this guy storing his cum rags in a bureau?
So never washed it?
I mean, no, because you're saying like, if that's his active cum rags, like the ones he's using. And why does he have more than one? Shouldn't you only need one?
Dude, no, I don't know. This reminds me of a story in high school. Like, I sat next to this girl in social studies when I was maybe 17 or 18. And one time she told me about, like, I don't know why, like, she told me this. Like, I think it was a conversation about like Limp Bizkit or something and how they got their name. But she said like her boyfriend, like, always thought it'd be funny to just bust against this wall. So the wall next to his bed, just like the paint was just like streaked with all these marks from him just busting.
Oh my God. Why would he tell her then? Why would she tell you?
Well, because obviously she thought it was funny, and she's been in his bedroom before. And the second thing is because we were kind of friends. We were close like that. She thought it was funny. She wanted to share a funny story. And I was like, Queen, if you ever leave your boyfriend, a real king is waiting for you in social studies, American history class. Not the AP one, though, because
I promise I'll come not on a wall.
You got to wash them, man. I mean, like,
I mean, if you're if you're jizzing on your wall, I think you're beyond the point of cleanliness. So I don't even think, like, at that point, just don't come on your wall.
I never saw this kid, but I always imagined him as Nelson Muntz from The Simpsons.
It's a very specific reference that I don't understand.
This filthy, filthy kid just doing this. Yeah, that bureau full of socks.
Like a horny pig pen, I think, is a better reference for me.
Yeah, it's disgusting, dude. Yeah, you got to wash those things. I mean, unless your mom busted in and, like, opened up the bureau, I mean, wouldn't it start to smell after a while?
That has to smell. No, I mean, especially because there's multiple cum rags.
Ugh. It's gross, dude. It's a gross topic.
All right, let's go to the next one. What's the most Midwestern thing you've ever done?
Oh. You know, most of it revolves around dietary habits and diet habits. Like, part of it is I've eaten at an Applebee's for lunch and a Chili's for dinner.
No.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. How? Like, what was the time? Like, what was the break? How long was it?
I think I was driving somewhere. I think I was driving from like Indianapolis to I forget where. Like, maybe it was Milwaukee. I don't know. It was a long drive. But I stopped in Applebee's for lunch, and then you know what? I may have been like driving. It may have been to Florida, actually, driving to spring break or whatever. But yeah, Applebee's for lunch and then a Chili's for dinner. We treated ourselves.
That combination
of we're on spring break. We're gonna eat well.
That combination going to Florida is just so perfect, like so unbelievably perfect.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you drive all that way to go to Florida, and then you go to went to Panama City Beach. You stay at this place next to Club La Vela, right there. Have you ever been there?
That's Senior Frogs, right? That's just something people say that I don't know about because I never went.
No, Club La Vela is like this big nightclub. We were right next to it. I think they closed down for a little bit. I think they were hurt really bad by the hurricane. But it was a pretty fun place.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. The next one. What is the funniest or worst tweet you've ever seen? You go first.
Oh, gosh, man. The worst tweet I've ever seen was the alligator tweet. You remember that one?
No. Which one is that?
It was when that lady said that, like, you remember that kid at Disney who, like, got, like, killed by the alligator?
Yeah.
Well, there's this tweet that's like, I don't even care if he got killed. They're just someone trying to be edgy on Twitter. And it was just so lacking in empathy that it was just like people dunked on this person and it became a whole thing. That was definitely the worst tweet I've ever seen, just because it's like a little baby got killed, man. Like, you know, like, just have a heart. The funniest tweets, probably the Stephen A. Smith, the Ross Stephen A. Smith Crab Rangoon tweet.
Oh yeah. Damn. That's a good pick. I'm trying to think of a minor. At the very least, I know my worst one. Actually, I think it's combination worst and funniest. The Eric Garland time for some game theory tweet.
Oh, celebrating 2 years in existence.
It is, yeah, because that was from the 2016 election. That one, or the saga of Kurt Eichenwald, like, outing himself for watching hentai porn.
Yeah, and he's like, I just showed this to my wife, like, my family. They think it's hilarious or something.
Yeah, he's like, the only reason I was looking up all this hentai porn was to show it to my wife and kids. Like, look, I swear, guys, look at our text conversations. I'm just sending my wife wave after wave of hentai porn. Next question. How many holes does a straw have? 1, 2, or 0?
It's got 2 holes.
Why not 1 hole? It's 1 long hole. It's 3-dimensional, no?
No, but I feel like if you perfectly balance a straw with a little bit of liquid in the middle, you have 2 different options for which hole the liquid could come out of.
And it's true.
Because you have two options, there are therefore two holes.
Ooh. All right, you swayed me. Next one. There's this something that's bothered me for years. In Christmas movies where Santa is real, how on earth does anyone in the world not believe in Santa, especially parents? Where do you think these gifts are coming from if you're not putting them there?
Wait, which is, what's this?
This is number 7 on this list, but this is, the question is just basically, why don't, movies where Santa is real, why do parents not believe in him?
I think personally that they're just clueless baby boomers and parents don't understand. It's kind of like how they don't appreciate the taste of Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
There's just gifts being put in the doorstep, like at their tree every year. And they're just like, oh, this is just a thing. Like everything works this way. But Santa's not real though. Like absolutely no chance. Somebody also asked, like, when do you think you'll break it to Baby Ballins that Santa's not real?
I don't know. I think kids tend to find out for themselves, whether it's a sibling. And I mean, I don't know if we'll have other kids because this one's great, but, or kids at school and then they come home and then they ask you if Santa's real or not. I think my go-to move is saying, well, what do you think? Right.
Nice.
And if they say, well, I think he's real. And I say like, yeah, like then, you know, if you think he's real, then he's real. Like, yeah, all this magic. If they come home and you're like, well, what do you think? And they're like, well, it just doesn't make a lot of sense that a guy could visit every house in the world or whatever in one night, and logistically and then people get different gifts and some people get more gifts than other people. Like, I don't get it. Like then you kind of, they come to the conclusion on their own.
I like that for answer.
It was when I was 22.
You were 22 and you figured out Santa wasn't real?
Yeah. Yeah. My parents had to sit me down after I graduated from college, say, Santa's not real.
Santa's not real.
Who's eating the cookies?
Sir, mommy, Danny, who's eating, or who's kissing Santa, or what's the song? Why is mommy kissing Santa Claus? No, that's not it.
I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus.
Yeah. Imagine you caught Santa Claus breaking out your mom's back. Then would you tell your dad?
I think maybe the first time, no, but if it happens again, yes.
Like if you catch them twice in the act?
Well, I mean, like if you had the, I mean, maybe I'd understand if like my wife decided to sleep with Santa Claus, like you have this magical guy and like, you know, maybe just want to see what it was like.
Do you think Santa's like good at sex too?
Probably. Like, why wouldn't he be?
Santa moans in his girl's ear every
ho, ho, ho. Ho, 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 ho.
He's fucking Rodney Dangerfield now.
I only got 3 voices, man. You gotta cut me some slack.
Oh, hey, I'm gonna deliver a kiss here. Oh, pulling his like extremely large neck. I think he has to be good at sex, right? Because fat guys do fuck better. That's what everyone says on Twitter all the time.
Is that what they say?
I'm just saying that because I'm overweight.
Dude, you're not overweight. You're handsome.
Those three things are not mutually exclusive. Next one. What popular anime series would you want to be adapted into a live action movie? I think you'd be better for this than me, because if I had to pick one, I don't even know what I would pick. Like, because my favorite, I guess, anime, if you can even count it as that, is Dragon Ball Z, and they tried making a movie out of it and it fucking sucked shit.
Yeah, so my 3 favorite anime are Evangelion, Cowboy Bebop, and Rurouni Kenshin. And I think that 2 of these have been adapted. I think there was a live action Kenshin movie in Japan and it didn't look cool. It's just, it's hard to translate those characters over. Cowboy Bebop, they are taking it live action, at least as of a couple weeks ago. And I'm not, Evangelion would not translate. So
it's basically like almost in a sense Pacific Rim.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. There's just so much in that series that I don't think would be a good live action movie.
You don't think they could like condense it down into like a movie length?
Oh, I think they've done that. I think they did they had one movie that was like basically a summary of the series. I mean, you know, maybe they could do it that way, but I think without the animation, it would just be really cheesy and lame. I think there's just something about anime that doesn't translate well over to live action because everything's so outlandish looking.
Yeah. All right, that makes sense. Explain the three most useful Excel functions.
Index match. I always like nice index match to kind of look into a data range with the multiple criteria. Then the other one, I think SUMIF is another one that I know and love. I probably use SUMIF. I'm gonna double SUMIF and COUNTIF, and actually SUMIFS, COUNTIFS, because why not just use the IFS formula even if you have one criteria? And then SUMPRODUCT is especially useful if you're trying to do a weighted average. And then you can also do IF criterias off of that to pick criterias out for different weighted averages based on what you want.
I don't even know what the last one was, but I did use the other ones before.
SUMPRODUCT, it's like if you had two columns of data, and you know, like you had two and you had two and one, and then you had four and you had six and one, it would be 2 times 4 and 8, and then it'd be 2 times 6 and 12, and then it would sum it up to 20, you know?
Oh, okay. That was a lot less confusing than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
I think my favorite would be just if equals if, and then you get like a good true or false matching statement or whatever. I like those ones. Let's see, what next one should we do? Who would you cast as each other, or like who would you cast in the LCB biopic?
Ooh, bonus casting for a Jeff Lowe. I think I'd do Cavill as you. I think we've gone too far not to have Cavill play you, because you always got to like I think you're attractive, Ken Jack, but like Cavill's Hollywood attractive, so no offense, but you always got to scale up, like Benedict Cumberbatch in this. Benedict come in this movie, this Brexit movie, they scaled up for him, the guy he's based off of. So I would do Cavill. And then for Jeff Lowe, like maybe Oscar Isaac.
Oh, I like that pick.
With the fresh fade.
Yeah, it needs to be someone with like a perfect hairline. So I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Who I would pick. What actor has like the best hairline?
Then for myself, I think John Cusack.
You always say John Cusack, and I'm just not letting you off the hook for it. That said, I would cast John Cusack as you. I have no idea who I'd pick for Jeff, because like, I can't think of a celebrity off the top that would play him. Well, who has like... I don't know. I don't know. I got nothing for him. I mean, I might just go with you.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff's defining features, like one is his hair and then two is facial hair. So it could be a broad range of like, because I don't know if you shaved Jeff's hair off or you gave Jeff like a different haircut, like a mop top or a chili bowl haircut. And you shaved off his facial hair. I don't know if I'd recognize Jeff, but I would recognize you because I've seen you without your mustache, and I've seen you, you know, with different lengths of hair.
Yeah, that's true. I need to grow my hair back out again. I used to have it shoulder length. No, that's a lie. I don't think I've ever gotten it past like ears or something. I have a really curly hair when it grows out, and it just looks fucking awful. It's terrible.
You grow it out, man. Just get it curly.
I look like, do you see that documentary about the triplets that were separated at birth?
No.
Oh, well, I look like one of them. I forgot what that documentary was called, but it was very good. Might win best documentary this year and the Oscars. I don't know what this is. So someone asked this and I didn't even put it in, or I put it in without looking it up. How woke are you two about the Denver airport and what lies beneath it?
I am probably level one woke, as in like, I know there are murals and sculptures there that are creepy and weird looking, but I don't know necessarily what they mean or what they signify. So I'm going to Google, let's see, airport.
What? Wait, so like this is a real thing?
Yeah, there's a big Denver airport conspiracy.
That what the underneath it is just like a bunker? Oh my God. Oh my God.
I don't know about the bunker though. Like they said that the Illuminati like have operations out of the Denver airport just due to the art and some other factors. And I know Coley's talked about this before.
This is fucking crazy. But if people know this place exists, then the Illuminati definitely wouldn't be there, right?
I don't like, I go back and forth because I'm like, if the Illuminati actually existed and were that powerful, like, would we even know of their existence? But also at the same time is like, are they just having fun toying with us? And then the third option is it doesn't exist.
Yeah. They're just like the bad place demons. Like all they're doing is just purposely fucking with us, like turning us against each other.
The fourth option is that like, there's a group of people that control the world, but they're just so boring. And like, they don't have anything cool. They're just like, it's like two guys with a lot of money.
All right, I'm going to look into this one a little more. I have another one here, which I don't understand it, but I'm assuming this is something you'll understand. Castleton Square Mall or Clay Terrace?
I don't put Clay Terrace on the same level as Castleton Square Mall. Clay Terrace is like an outdoor lifestyle center, whereas Castleton Square Mall is like a full-fledged mall.
Where are they, respectfully?
In Indianapolis?
Both of them are in Indianapolis?
Yeah, so Castleton Square Mall is in Castleton, obviously. And then Clay Terrace is right outside of Carmel, or in Carmel now probably, but it's like at the Carmel-Westfield border, Carmel-Westfield-Noblesville type area.
Huh. This is another one here, actually, that I just saw that was maybe like submitted an hour after that one. Best restaurant in the Castleton Keystone area.
Dude, I don't even know, man. It's been so long since I've been back there. It's been like 7 or 8 years.
Is that just Indiana? Like, I don't even know.
No. I mean, I've been back to like Indiana, but I haven't been back to like that Castleton Keystone area very frequently. Things change a lot because like that, even that fashion mall, they had this mall called the Fashion Mall, Ken Jack. They still have it, but the fashion mall. Yeah. Okay. It's the upscale mall. Cause it's called the Fashion Mall. But they really renovated that joint. Like they gutted the middle part and they took out this like crappy little food court they had and put in these nicer restaurants, and nicer, fast food restaurants too. Like, so they got like Pinkberry there and some other stuff. I don't know what the best restaurant is, man. Like also like I never like went over there to eat just cause I was like, most of the time I spent there was in high school and I wasn't eating in nice restaurants in high school. They did that like Sullivan Steakhouse that was there. It was pretty good, but I think that's a chain restaurant too.
Sullivan Steakhouse.
Yeah. I think that's like a chain. I think it's like owned by Landry or something like that. One of those food groups.
Oh, okay. Just trying to look through some other ones here. What's your game of the year? I think mine is going to be God of War. I loved God of War so much. That was like endless amounts of fun and just very interesting story arc. And just their combat system was so much fun. It was almost like not Dark Souls isn't the right game comparison, but sort of like Dark Souls. I loved it.
I'm like going back and forth between God of War and Red Dead Redemption right now. And the reason I'm doing that is like Red Dead Redemption for me was definitely going to be it until I got to the epilogue. And then I played and beat the epilogue and it took away from the game for me. I don't know if you felt the same way, but like, I don't know. It's hard. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but, I do think Red Dead's the game of the year for me. And I love God of War. They're probably like 1A, 1B. God of War was more fun in a sense that was like an easier playthrough and that it was a shorter game and it was a more condensed package and it was a very satisfying story and the combat was fun as hell. The big knocks, and I talked about this on the Reddit the other day for Red Dead for me, was the combat system was eh. Like I didn't have fun shooting very much and the travel system was very repetitive as well, but everything else was great. The graphics in that, like going from that to Assassin's Creed Odyssey, like they feel like different generations of systems.
Yeah, that's a really good comparison. I think I did like Red Dead a lot. That travel system is just very frustrating though. And I feel like, do you think they did that like on purpose to make the game longer?
I think they did it to make it more immersive. I think there are things they threw in there to kind of make you feel like, you know, time was passing in a sense because they have like the facial hair growth system and all of that. So yeah, they could have done that to do that. But the thing I hate is the hunger mechanic. I hate hunger mechanics.
Yeah, no, that wasn't very good. I didn't like having to clean everything either, though. The amount of stuff you could buy, pretty awesome. Like, I think that they did a really good job in making it that immersive. But at the same time, that travel system was just tough. I didn't like the epilogue very much. And again, the combat system, I don't think Rockstar has ever really made it to the point where, like, an rival, like, it's different. And I appreciated that. Like, I don't want to be, like, fucking playing Gears of War or something. But, like, it's, I struggle sometimes, like, getting that combat system to work for me. It just feels, like, sluggish. But it's not their fault. It's more just like I can't figure that out compared to FPS, which my dumb brain is built for.
Like Red Dead's an easy game. It's not meant to be a challenging game, I don't think. There are definitely times where I died, but it was mostly because I didn't prepare for a battle or I just got completely surprised. I would have liked to had more Deadeye. I think that would have made the combat a lot more fun if I could have just like used that more and not run out so quickly. Because other than that, it was essentially just like L2, R1, hide behind something, lock in on someone with L2, then pop up on the stick a little bit to headshot him, and then I headshot him. And with that Lancaster repeater, I was pretty good with that.
Dude, that's what I thought until I played it online in the beta, and I was getting fucking destroyed. Like, I couldn't hit anything. I kept getting massacred. Meanwhile, when I would be playing in like the campaign mode, it would take me like maybe a minute to clear out an entire town with the Lancaster repeater.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking annoying.
Yeah, I played that one time and I didn't like it. And I think they've made some fixes, but I'd rather play a new game at this point than play an online game. So that's what I'm doing with Assassin's Creed Odyssey. For three of Game of the Year, Spider-Man. And then for four, Monster Hunter World. And I don't think I played another game this year that was released this year.
Well, I figure you can count sort of Fortnite into this, right? Because that was released like in what, December of 2017? Or no, not released, but like it only picked up Steam.
Yeah, it picked up Steam earlier this year. It was released in like August or September of last year, but it didn't get big until January or February. And I mean, obviously, it's like way bigger than it was even then. But yeah, you'd include it like just because it was, I would say it's more of a 2018 game than a 2017 game. Due to the cultural impact of it that's had this year.
Yeah. Most lawsuits, the winner goes to Fortnite over Red Dead, which has had zero lawsuits as far as I know. We should make that graphic, like how many times the game has been sued, like, you know, the one they do sometimes.
What do you think about that? The dances? Like,
well, I think if you're like, for example, like they have the dab in Fortnite, right? And the dab is like popularized by the Migos, who also Cam Newton made it popular too. Like, I don't necessarily think that like they should be due money from Fortnite, but then you also have people who are like really like struggling artists, let's say like the guy who did like Millie Rock, which is adapted into it. Like they deserve money. And even the Orange Justice kid who stole it from like whatever those industrial German goths, like,
yeah,
people who invented that, and now like Fortnite's making money off of it with no repercussions. And that, if I was somebody who made a dance that got put onto there and I didn't make money off it, I'd be pissed. But at the same time, like a lot of other people are still making money off your shit too. Like Fortnite isn't the only one making money off people Millie Rocking. There's people on making sponsored Vines and or sponsored Instagrams where they're doing the Millie Rocker, sponsored YouTube content where they do dances. And like, do they owe you money now too? Like, I don't think that's necessarily the case.
Yeah, I think I agree with most of what you're saying. The obvious solution here is I'm not sure some of these things, like the Carlton came out after the game got really popular. And I think by that point, they should have at least gone to Alfonso Ribeiro and said, we're going to use the game, your dance in the game, and got his signature on it. And if he said no, I want money, then you should say, well, how much, and then try to get it that way. It's always easier to do that. I think they're going to be probably more careful on that in the future. But I just I kind of like understand, like, something like if they put the chicken dance in there, like someone owned the chicken dance.
Yeah, that's the thing. And then you also have to track down like the actual originator of each dance. So like even the Carlton, first of all, he doesn't call the Carlton. He calls it something else. And like he didn't invent it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's obviously like I don't mean this is for the courts, but it's obviously like a reference to him. Like that's why people buy it. People buy it because it's association of the dance and Fresh Prince. The question is like, does he own the dance or does NBC or whatever own the dance?
I'm pretty sure like everything in his brain or every action you do on the set for like a TV show is belongs to whatever own or whatever or whoever studio owns that TV show.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out in courts. That's for sure. But I do think they'll be more careful and they should be more careful about it going forward. And especially if you're taking a dance of like someone like on YouTube and you can help them out, like help them popularize it and maybe give them some money. And I think it could be mutually beneficial for both parties. Instead they're paying more for it after the fact with some lawsuits, or maybe they'll just be thrown out. Maybe they'll settle out of court. I don't know.
Somehow like Backpack Kid is suing them too. And somehow he gets like into like a double jeopardy situation where he gets indicted for like a triple homicide that he has in his past that nobody knew about.
Well, it's interesting because that's one where I think like, I don't know how that works because one, he's a minor. And so I'm not sure like how that relationship would work with like signing contract with a minor and whatever. I know his mom's filing suit on his behalf. But two, he also came out like when the game first came out and said he was cool with it. Now, I don't think that necessarily disqualifies him from the lawsuit, but it's just like one of those things where that's what I'm saying is like if you go to people before you do it and you say, well, can you sign this form? They'll probably do it. Now that Fortnite is this big and people see maybe you can make some money off of it, they'll be less likely to do it without being compensated.
I think that the solution here, I think that would be perfect. I don't think necessarily that the people should be getting paid for their dances being on like Fortnite, but I do think that they should be accredited. Like, you know, they change the names of all the dances to something they're not. Like the Millie Rock, I think in there is called like Spin Circles or something. It should just be called the Millie Rock and maybe put like an addendum of who it's for. Like, it's like a little attachment to it that says like from this artist, from this person, like throw that on there. And I think that's fair game because they're getting the notoriety and the credit for it. But just, I don't think that there's necessarily a tangible number you can put on like association of a dance with a person.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. It's just every kid seeing every dance in the next 2 years. Like that's the Fortnite dance.
Yeah. They literally have like Fortnite dance classes for kids now. Oh, it's fucking crazy. What's next we have on here? Ken Jack, what do your friends and family think of your TikTok addiction? My family has no idea what TikTok is. I can guarantee you that for a fact. Other than my youngest brother who's in the Marines, I send him basically every Marines TikTok I find that's very offensively bad and say, like, come get your boy. And to each he replies, like, I don't know who that is. Other than that, I don't think my family knows anything about them. My friends, I actually have a lot of friends that will, like, text me and sometimes be like, dude, that TikTok was depraved. And at work, I think people do like mental health checks on me when they come in. Like they'll come up to me and be like, dude, are you okay? Like that last third is pretty nuts.
How do you rip the video from it?
So you can turn off the save function on your TikToks, which I think most people have turned off. But if you just like literally click post to Instagram, it immediately saves.
Oh.
The entire video. That's all I do is click post to Instagram. And like it doesn't post it. It just saves it and then brings you to Instagram to where you can post it. But then I just click out and go back to TikTok and keep surfing.
Wow. It's crazy.
It's it's a shit terrible app, but it is very interesting. At the KFC, like literally did a wellness check on me the other day. He's like, dude, that last one was terrible.
It is pretty horrible. It showcases a side of human vanity that I think is very cringeworthy.
Yeah. Right. And especially because I think most of the people in it, at least once I post, are like Southerners and stuff, where like their whole notion of like, or at least like the machismo end of it. Like, if you feel like that would be counter to like what they're posting, right?
Yeah. I don't know, dude. I like the ones with like some 45-year-old dude just all tatted up singing some like Vince Gill song.
Yeah. There's the one where there's the 45-year-old guy with like Nazi tattoos singing like Halsey. Like, yeah, yep, that's just perfect. Does Vision have a dick or do he and Scarlet Witch just have psychic sex? It's a good question.
How was he, how was he formed again?
He was like he's formed in like that whatever chamber thing in Age of Ultron by, made out of vibranium by what's his name? Ultron. And then he has the Mind Stone in his head that gives him like life and all the powers.
I think that Ultron is probably a cool enough dude to give him a wang.
But he doesn't have one when he's like initially like is created or whatever, when he wakes up when Thor zaps him.
Maybe he can materialize one.
That's what I figured, because he can materialize like his cape and his outfit and everything, which he does. But can he materialize a fully functional penis like Dr. Manhattan or something?
I mean, maybe not. Maybe he's such an advanced life form that he just doesn't have human desire.
But he's desires Scarlet Witch, obviously.
Yeah, but it could just be for an emotional connection.
Yeah, I guess so. What's the next one? Oh, so is it weird that I like diet soda more than regular soda in terms of taste? Specifically, Coke Zero is better than regular Coke. I 100% agree with that take.
I it's been so long since I've had a sip of actual Coke that I guess I understand it. Is it just like, is it? I've always felt like diet soda has this little cutting carbonation feeling that you get when you don't get with regular Coke. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's like drinking what do you call it, thumbtacks?
Yeah, like people say McDonald's has spicy Coke.
Yeah,
because their carbonation is so strong. I feel like you get a little more of that with Diet Coke. Like a Diet Coke, you get that nice like in your chest, and it's so sugary with regular Coke. I think I understand that.
Yeah, definitely. It tastes muted, or almost maybe even like a little flat. The regular Coke from like most places in a soda can.
Yeah, I don't know. Coke out of the bottle though is my favorite kind of Coke.
Oh, yeah. You ever have a Mexican Coke in the glass?
Yeah, really good.
Oh, it's so good. I'm a big fan. But I do think that Coke Zero is better than regular Coke. It's so, like, refreshing. I don't know what it is about it. Just like, I think it's like you're saying, that staticky taste.
I always feel like I'm getting more carbonation with a Diet Coke. Not that I drink regular Cokes. It's not because I'm health conscious. It's just because, like, it's the bare minimum I can do for my body. Like, oh, well, I'll still drink soda, but I just won't drink that soda that's super bad for you. I'll just drink the stuff that's bad for you.
Yeah, only kind of bad. Who do you think is the horniest movie character?
That's a good question. You know it's pretty horny? I don't think this is the horniest movie character. Phil Hartman's character from Jingle All the Way, which I watched last night.
He was very horny.
He was like Pepe Le Pew level horny.
Yeah. Gonna cut that part out.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally joking. Trying to think. That Phil is a great pick. I also think, do you ever watch Hocus Pocus?
Yes, but it's been a while.
I did like not an expose, but like, I did this article with Ellie where I did like a takedown of Hocus Pocus. And the kid in that, I think his name is Jake, is so horny, like viciously horny. He, like at one point, he his first day of school, right? And he meets this girl that he likes, which turns out to be like his love interest later in the movie. And when he gets home from school on the first day, he basically starts like making out and fucking his pillow and saying like it's her, like Japanese love pillow type.
Oh, Jesus.
Like it's really, he is very horny. And like half of his motivation throughout the movie is just that he is so horny. And it just didn't vibe right with me.
Well, I got another one for you. Lucy Punch's character from Dinner for Schmucks.
Oh, yeah. That's a great pick. She's really tall, right?
I think she's pretty tall. She's like 5'11".
I just remember her towering over Paul Rudd.
There's a picture on Wikipedia of one of, like, on her profile of like her with a very problematic person.
How do you spell her last name?
Punch. Just Punch.
There's Lucy Punch. Oh God. Who is it? Oh. Oh. Okay. Yeah, that's no good. You will meet a tall, dark stranger. Never watch that.
We'll just say what she towers over Woody Allen, but yes. Woody Allen's got to be like, what, 5'6"?
If that. I met him once in a movie set.
Ugh.
It's not a story I talk about. What is the worst thing you have to talk about with boomer family members when you're back home for the holidays?
Family never gets into like any serious shit. It's mostly just talking about the same shit over and over. And you know what's been awesome? Having a baby, no one wants to fucking talk to you anymore. It's great. They just want to play with the baby. It's like a conversation deterrent. I'd say like the worst thing to talk about is like if you don't have a job and like somebody like keeps asking you about it, that's probably not fun.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever been in between jobs when I've been home with, or been home with family or anything. I can't think of anything specific where I'm like, damn, I'm dreading talking about this. But I don't like it when the conversation veers to anything political, obviously, because like it just stinks. Or like if there's stuff that like there's Twitter stuff. So like my cousins are on Twitter and like they're online and like I like talking about stuff that's funny. And every now and then, like we'll be in the middle of talking about something and like an older family member will come in be like, oh, what's all the hubbub about? Like, how the fuck am I even going to begin to explain this to you? Like I think I was talking about drill with my cousin once and like, or my uncle walked in. He's like, who's that? And I'm like, I cannot even begin to explain this to you right now.
Yeah. And then they'll say like, Kinchak has a Twitter account that's pretty popular. And then the old person is like, what is it? And then you're like, no, I don't want you on that page.
Yeah. At all. I actually did that to an uncle very recently. He was like, oh, what's your Twitter at? Like, I'll go follow you. And he's like basically a Proud Boy. And I was like, yeah, I don't want him following my real account. So I was like, yeah, it's at Lights Camera Pod. I just tweet about movie stuff, you know? He's like, oh, cool. He goes and follows me on there.
That was awkward, man.
That was terrible. All right, next one. Which airport in the U.S. has the best Chili's bar and grill?
Dude, I don't know. I don't know how many I've eaten at an airport, to tell you the truth.
Like, period?
I mean, I definitely have, but they don't stand out to me. They're all the same.
I'm trying to think. I went to one Chili's at Charlottesville. International Airport, I think it's Charlottesville something, like Dash something airport. Very good.
The Charlottesville, Virginia?
Wait, no, that's not right.
Charlotte, North Carolina?
Yeah.
McDonnell Douglas or whatever?
Yeah, it was something hyphenated. That was a good Chili's. Let's see what else we have on the list. Would you need one if you had one?
What's that?
Do you have a favorite Chili's if you had to pick one?
At Charlotte Douglas International Airport.
Charlotte Douglas.
No, but I will tell you my favorite airport restaurant is the Papa Dough that's in the Houston airport.
What is that? Papa what?
Papa Dough. It's like a chain Cajun Creole type restaurant.
Ooh, hold on. I got to look this up pretty quick. See, this is why
George Bush International.
Let me see.
Ooh. No, actually, it's Intercontinental Airport. It's not.
This looks delicious. Can you hear the Euro sirens?
Yeah, I can. No, Papa Dough is very good, but you take a little escalator up there to eat at it, and you're like perched up, and you can look down a little bit. You feel like you're getting a premium airport dining experience.
Creole Caesar salad. I like how they basically did the same. Oh my god, this is literally the loudest siren of all time. I'm just gonna wait for it to go.
Oh, that's fine. We can leave it on this one. This podcast is
it's a low effort one.
The airport restaurant I think I've eaten at the most is probably the Popeyes in the Atlanta airport.
I'm just going through this really quick. They basically did the same thing that they did with Outback with the food items on here. Like they just put some sort of Louisiana name in front of all the items. Gulf Coast oysters.
But to be fair to them, they actually have like a Creole Cajun. I can't differentiate between the two, but they have like a New Orleans kick to them.
There's one item here called crispy alligator, which is just fresh cut potato sticks and Creole sauce. That's not out. Like, why would you? That's a misnomer.
Really? Are you sure it's just not served with that?
Oh, wait, no. You're right. That's exactly what it says. I missed the with. I didn't know you could just serve alligator.
Yeah. No, you definitely can serve alligator. I've never had alligator.
Creole Caesar salad.
Here's pretty good.
I mean, Creole Caesar salad. It's just, you're just putting the name in front of it.
What's different on the Creole? I'm on the Papa Dough menu too. Let's see. Classic Caesar Creole.
Roasted tomatoes.
Roasted baby. Yeah, but the classic Caesar has roasted baby. I mean, I think this one is
roasted baby.
The Creole one, I think the difference between the classic Caesar and the Creole is they're just throwing your choice of shrimp, chicken, or salmon on it.
So pasta Mardi Gras. Look at that one. It's just linguine tossed with crawfish, which that sounds not good. Oh,
that's pretty good. It's got andouille sausage on it, so it's kind of like a jambalaya type pasta.
Yeah, but then also marinara cream sauce on top of crawfish with, oh man, I don't know. I'm out on that.
Mm.
I like seafood a lot, but when you mix it with a lot of continental European food, I don't know.
Do you like oysters?
Yeah, but I've never gone out of my way to like order oysters from a restaurant. I'm not that horny. Dude, the funny thing about New York City, as I'm sure you know, being a Hoboken resident, is that they advertise oyster places a lot. Like, they'll be like, yeah, yo, like $1 oysters tonight, like on signs. And like, are people really this fucking horny?
There's this dish that originated in New Orleans. It's called Oysters Rockefeller.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Oh, dude, they're so gross. And I think they taste good, but they smell awful.
So bad.
And they put the original place that did it, I think maybe it was Antoine's, but they had some sauce that was green up top, and they never revealed the recipe. So people started putting spinach. So you just get this like green crap on top of an oyster. It looks unnatural and disgusting.
That sounds gross. Ooh, Louisiana gumbo and po' boy. That sounds awesome, actually.
Po' boys are delicious.
Like, I am a huge po' boy guy.
I'm a banh mi guy too. Banh mi is kind of like a po' boy, except not really.
Vietnamese food in general. I've yet to find a Vietnamese dish that I don't like.
On a cold day, nothing beats a nice pho.
Oh, big fan. Tilapia lado, blackened tilapia with sauteed shrimp, crawfish, butter, spinach, and butternut squash with tilapia. I don't know. What else? Just grilled shrimp and grits. Shrimp and grits does not sound good to me.
I like we're reading a menu on air. We're having fun.
So, creme brulee. Has anyone heard of this?
Oh, dude, I remember like 2 years ago when I was on the Jewel, and you get that Jewel starter kit, and you'd always do the creme brulee one last because it's so gross.
There's a starter kit for Jewels?
Oh, it comes with the device. Back in the day, I don't know if it's the same, but it was the mint, the mango, the tobacco flavored one, and then the creme brulee one.
Who would you rather have as a wingman, Beetlejuice or Stanley Ipkiss once he puts the mask on?
Oh, dude, Stanley Ipkiss. You kidding me? He was charismatic.
More so than Beetlejuice?
Yeah, Beetlejuice was creepy.
Yeah. Well, then wouldn't that make the woman more attracted to you?
No, I don't think it works that way.
I don't really know.
I think if you're with a creepy person, your whole group is deemed creepy.
But then wouldn't she go after Stanley Ipkiss then if he was that charismatic?
Maybe, but also maybe her friend like would settle for me.
Schrodinger's wingman. Let's see. Top 10 Entenmann's products. Just off the top of your head, do 10. I can't name fucking 10 Entenmann's products off the top of my head.
I'll go with my favorite. When you say Entenmann's, the thing that comes to mind are the powdered donuts. Powdered donuts are number one. I think that the Danish products or whatever, strudel or whatever they have, are pretty good. And then I also like their coffee cake. I'm not a big coffee cake guy. Coffee cake's lacking. It's not what I would choose to eat. I think they have a pound cake that's pretty good too. That's all I can think of.
I think a moist coffee cake is very good, but if it's even the littlest bit dry, like that, the topping, if it's dry, if the sponge is dry too, it stinks.
Speaking of like New Orleans foods, have you ever had a king cake?
No, what's that?
I don't know how to describe it. It's like a coffee cake type deal, but there's a baby in it, like a little plastic baby. And if you find the baby, here,
I'm looking it up now. This looks awesome, except for the baby part, which is weird.
Yeah. So for those not familiar, king cake is a type of cake. Definitely a type of cake associated with Mardi Gras carnival. Started out 300 years ago. The cake also has a small plastic baby to represent the baby Jesus inside or underneath. And the person who gets the piece of cake with the trinket has various privileges and obligations. I don't know if coffee cake's the best way to describe it, but it is a relatively dry cake. It can be a little moist depending on the content of what's inside, but there's something that, like, when you get it fresh, they're really good, but if they sit out for more than 2 hours, it's stale, not that great.
Can I say something regarding a Christmas delicacy? And it's that I don't think fruitcake is that bad, and it has drawn the ire of, like, everybody around holiday time. Like, it's just a running gag that fruitcake sucks. Like, I don't think fruitcake's that bad. There's worse desserts out there.
I like fruitcake. Fruitcake was a big 90s thing. I don't see fruitcakes around as much anymore. But my dad used to get them from work all the time. Like, people would bake him fruitcakes. And now I think people just get people gift cards, which is...
That's way better than a fruitcake, to be honest. But still,
yeah, I just... It's better than fruitcake. Get a nice fruitcake tied in one of those plastic bags. Slice it up. Serve it to the dogs.
Yeah, I don't know. I just never thought that they were terrible. What is the most upset Jeff has gotten at you guys for going off the rails in the pod? I don't think Jeff's ever gotten upset.
I think the day that I did the soundboard the first time, he was pretty pissed.
Oh, yeah, because the way it works on GChat is, like, you can't overtalk each other like you can on Skype. It'll just cut off and, like, you get static. So that was definitely I can see that by knowing. But do you remember when you did the soundboard, you got on a little bit earlier so you could test it? Yeah. And the first time that you got the Yoda to say Yoda, I fucking cried laughing. Like, that was so good.
He didn't really even laugh. He just was like, what's that? And then I read the room in that podcast and just did it a few more times, but I had to be careful. And we need Jeff. Let's be clear. Like, Jeff keeps us on the rails. He's very good at hosting. We need him.
Yes.
I think so. I'm glad he does that for us, because it's always a smoother production when we have him. But I also think, I don't think he gets mad at us when we go off the rails. I think he gets mad at us when we do something unexpected.
Yeah, I think that's more than anything else. Like, if we deviate off schedule. All right, second to last question. For Trill, did you ever play putt-putt at Park King in Arlington Heights, Illinois?
No.
I was very specific, and I just assumed because he asked it that it would make sense. But thanks for wasting our time with a question like that.
No, but I did snowboard at this place called Raging Buffalo in Algonquin, I think, is where it is.
I don't know where Algonquin – I thought Algonquin was in New York.
Algonquin's in let's see, let me open up the Chicagoland map. Raging Buffalo Snowboard and Ski Park. It's just this hill, had some tow ropes on it. Just go there. It's kind of fun. Algonquin is northwest. Algonquin is a little bit to the west of Arlington Heights. So I lived in Crystal Lake. So that was kind of like off the beaten path in terms of the Chicagoland suburbs. It was up there. It was more north.
All right. I mean, I'm so out of my element anytime you guys deviate into the Midwest. Been in Chicago once, and, like, that's just about as far.
I think it was more north. I don't really know. Like, Chicago geography is something I'm just very, very bad at. You know when you're young and you don't, like, truly understand where you're at?
Yeah.
That was me.
All right, last question. Fuck, marry, kill Chewbacca, Lando, and R2-D2. I'm not sure what I pick with this one. I think I'm going to marry Lando, because Lando's the richest, and definitely, like, I would gold dig Lando. He's a fucking Baron Administrator of Cloud City. That dude's got clout. He's got money. He's a fucking pimp. He dresses nice, and he's smooth and sexy. Chewbacca, I mean, I just can't fuck Chewbacca, and I can't be fucked by Chewbacca, because he would break me no matter what, and I just don't want to fuck Chewbacca. So I'm gonna kill him. I'm gonna kill him, and I'm gonna fuck R2-D2.
I would fuck Lando, and then I think I would marry Chewbacca, because he would protect me, be my strong man, hold me in his arms late at night. And I would kill R2-D2, because I think I wouldn't feel that bad about killing a robot.
Mm. Yeah, I guess so. I do like that, but number one, I don't think, like, Chewbacca does not have a lot of money. And, like, he's just, like, a rebel. He's on the run all the time. I don't know if he's got, like, you can't really stay with him. Like, does he even have a home?
Yeah, Kishik or whatever.
All right, first of all, Kashyyyk. Number two, Kashyyyk. He doesn't live, like, full time on Kashyyyk.
No. Like, didn't Kashyyyk get destroyed, or
There's like five battles on Kashyyyk.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you'd be financially secure with Lando, but I feel like Chewbacca would protect me. And Lando, you know, after what he did to Han, yeah, he made it right. But also, like, I don't know if I could trust him.
Like, he had his back to the wall, though, you know? Like, wouldn't you?
I mean, the long play worked out. I will say that. I am very excited that Billy Dee is back for episode 9, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
There's also a question on the Reddit, and not to shit on Jeff too much, where somebody said, are you more excited for Infinity War's Endgame or episode 9? And Jeff said Endgame. I guarantee you once Jeff gets that first whiff of the episode 9 trailer, he's back to Star Wars. Because that dude has his room full of Star Wars toys. I don't get that.
I mean, let's see. I will say that Infinity War, Avengers, and Marvel in general have been doing a really great job with their hype machine. Like, Star Wars, I feel like with The Last Jedi and even to a lesser extent with The Force Awakens, like, their marketing blitz, I was never really, like, encapsulated by it. I think that the first trailer for Force Awakens, yes. But the trailers for you remember that one? The first one where, like, they have Han, like, come back and he says, like, Chewie, we're home. And then it goes into, like, the whole hyperspace, like, visual effect. That was fucking incredible. But then outside of that, like, I like the – I think the trailer for Infinity War definitely, like, blew me away.
I don't know, man. I'm just so much more excited for episode 9. And I know people think I'm crazy. I've gone back. I liked Last Jedi, but in reviewing it, I don't think I liked it upon watching it more as much as I liked it when we reviewed it on the podcast. But I still thought it was a good movie. And I think JJ will paint by the numbers in episode 9, but I don't think that's a bad thing. And I just feel like the second I see that trailer and I see the title card for whatever the movie is, and I see Rey whip out that lightsaber and clash it against Kylo's, I'm going to be fully in on the episode 9 hype train.
Yeah, I think so too. And even if it Force Awakens was played by numbers type thing, like, you would, nothing was crazy or out of the line like they did in Last Jedi. And like we mentioned a million times, we all, like, pretty much ubiquitously thought that it was good for Rian Johnson to make, like, do those experiments and do something different than just, like, giving you whatever boilerplate shit. And I did appreciate that. I will be looking forward to having a more Star Warsy feel, which is what I got out of Force Awakens as opposed to The Last Jedi.
Yep, that's true.
Burn the tree. There's nothing of value in there because Rey has already taken the Journal of the Wills. Foreshadowing.
I like how he just, like, sunned Luke in that moment. He's like, yeah, Luke, you dumb bitch. You've been sitting in these mountains for, like, years, decades, and you haven't learned shit, you dumbass.
Luke, are you lonely too?
Local hot milfs in your area, there are. All right. I think we need to wrap it up.
Nice. Let's wrap it up. Jeff, we miss you.
We miss you big time, Jeff. Have fun in Disney for the 10th week in a row. I'm Ken Jack. This is Troll Ballins. We will see you on the next episode of Lights, Camera, Barstool, which will be 112.
That's true. And have a good week at the box office. And Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays. We'll cut that.